Verse 14 reads this, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come." And verse 21 reads, "So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for not giving up on us. We thank you for going to that cross and dying on that cross to give us the hope that we will be able to one day be with you. And Father, we thank you for just everything that you do on a daily basis that just blesses us, Father. And we thank you just for everything, Lord. And Lord, as we unpack this evening, four different ideas of death, four different forms of death, Father, just allow us to remember that there is a break point that comes in. And Father, we thank you in your name. Amen. All right, well, you see, death is spoken of throughout Scripture. But I said we're going to talk about the break point of death, and that being the crucifixion, the time on the cross. Sports fans here, anybody know much about tennis? Anybody know much about tennis? All right, well, we're going to have a tennis 101. Actually, not a 101, just we're going to talk a little bit about tennis. In tennis, there's a thing called a break point. Okay? And in that break point, basically, what happens is there's a server and there's a receiver. Okay? So the person who's serving serves the ball and the receiver hits it back and they just, you know, volley back and forth. And what we call a break in tennis, okay, is where the person who is receiving the serve wins the point. That's a break. So a break point is that time where the next point that the receiver earns by, you know, hitting the ball over the net and the ball is not returned, the next point that receiver earns is called the break point. And, you know, just a little piece of information there that, you know, technically in tennis, they call it a break. They call it a break point because the advantage is given to the person who is serving, okay? And, when we're on earth, the break point that we received was that time on the cross. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17 reads this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" If you were here this morning, I kind of gave a little example of Jesus walking through the garden. And just picture this with me. Okay, we all know the story. Adam and Eve, you know, they're eating in the garden and they're, you know, whatever. And here comes the serpent. "Oh, come on, you can eat of this tree. God doesn't want you to eat of this tree because then you'll know exactly what he knows. You'll be like him. You'll be smart. You'll know the difference of good and evil." What happens? They eat. They eat of the tree of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, just picture this. This is just kind of how my mind works, I guess. So here comes Jesus walking through the garden. And he's, you know, walking, and of course at this point, Adam and Eve are what? They're hiding. And here's what's going on. Jesus is walking through the garden, he's going, "Adam! Adam, where are you? I can't find you. Where are you at?" And here's Adam. "I'm behind this bush." Jesus, knowing full well what had happened, says, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam says, "Well, we were naked." Jesus says, "Well, how did you know? How did you know that you were like this?" You see, he didn't have to ask these questions. He knew ahead of time. But he still decided that he was going to ask. And you see, at that point, What were they told? If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. You will surely die. And so here's a serpent. The serpent saying, oh, come on. You're not really going to die. Just eat of it. It's no big deal. You're going to be as smart as Jesus. Just do it. Come on. Just do it. It's no big deal. Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to die. So they take a bite. You know, they're eating of the apple or whatever fruit it is. I think we particularly view it as an apple. Not quite sure why, but that's what we look at it as. And what happens? Do they die? Certainly not. Physically. And so they take a bite of this fruit and they say, huh. They probably looked at each other and said, we don't know what he was talking about. I'm still living. I'm healthy. I'm good. But you see, the physical sense, they didn't die immediately. But in the end, it's not just the physical death that we experience now because of this particular time. Romans 5, verse 12 reads, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all had sinned. As a result, each of us have inherited the consequences of death. And we have been subjected to death on four levels. First of all, moral death. Secondly, spiritual death. Thirdly, physical death. And fourth, eternal death. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a little bit of time here and unpack these. I'll try to get you out. May go a couple minutes over. Is that okay? Okay if we go just a couple minutes over? All right. Well, I guess I'm speaking, so. Oh, boy. Joanne's up here saying, I'm the boss. That could be dangerous. First of all, when this experience happened, we now have the sense of a moral death. Number one. When Adam sinned, our moral nature became corrupt. You see, when we were created a perfect. We were created perfect. The garden was perfect. The trees were perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. Jesus is perfect. Everything about that garden at that particular time was perfect. Until that experience happened where this fruit was eaten. And because of that, we are now born with the inclination to do the wrong thing. We are born to sin and to go our own way. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and what? And fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 7:24 reads this, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Romans 7:24. Paul recognized his inability at this time to save himself. He realized that it wasn't things that he did, that he could do, that can get us into a relationship with Christ. He realized that it's not just, I'm a good person. I helped this person last week. I was over here and, you know, well, this guy, you know, he needed $5, so I gave him 10. He knew, Paul recognized his inability to deliver himself from this death. Some translations actually start off with saying, oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched man. You see, hold on to your seats here. This is going to be really, really, really profound. And I'm sure everyone's just going to be in shock when they hear this. Did you know that we cannot expect people to do the right thing? Because of this experience, we cannot expect people to do the right thing. Really? If we weren't here and we did not know the things of Jesus, would we be doing the right thing? I know I wouldn't be. I know for sure that my dad, when he was younger, certainly didn't do the right thing. You see, we can't just expect the people of the world to do the right thing. So therefore, we must want to reach those people. The first level of death we see is the moral death. Secondly, is spiritual death. Spiritual death is the loss of that relationship with God. Adam and Eve lost this relationship, and because of this lost relationship, Jesus no longer walked in the garden with them. I mean, I can't imagine. I think about this all the time. What it must have been like just to be in the garden, where everything, you know, before this fall of man happened, where everything was perfect. You open your eyes, there's God. You walk with Him. You see, the initial promise actually was that if you eat of the tree of life, you're going to live. That was the promise. The only stipulation He put was just don't eat of this tree. If you eat of the tree of life, you'll live. But Adam and Eve lost this relationship, and they no longer were able to walk with God in the garden. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, read this. I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with the continual lust for more. Separated from God in desiring to do wrong. Spiritual death. Thirdly, we see the physical death. Now obviously this is the death that we most think about from this experience. Not just from this experience, well, from this experience. We think about it the most because it's the one that probably hits us maybe the hardest, hits us in human light the hardest. All right, and it's the one that we struggle with the most. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there He put the man He had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree knowledge of good and evil. And like I said before, the original promise was eat of this tree. Eat of any of these trees and you'll live. But stay away from this one. Just this one tree. Yes, it's in the middle. But just stay away. When they disobeyed, living all of a sudden became a liability. When they disobeyed, living forever became a liability. John 14, I printed all of them out because I knew I was going to be all over the place, so if you don't see me flipping through my Bible, that's why. John 14, verses 1 through 3, read, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus tells the disciples He is going to prepare a place for them, and He will come back to get them. And you see, the great thing is, this is a promise from God, and we know that when God makes a promise, it is outside of His character not to fulfill that promise. So the first three levels of death, we see the moral death, where we can't expect anybody to do, we can't expect people to do the right thing. We see the spiritual death, the loss of relationship between man and God. We see the physical death. And now we're going to see the eternal death, which is separation from God on earth. But because of that separation from God on earth, that constitutes an eternal separation from God. 2 Thessalonians reads this. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. Eternal punishment, really, if you can think of it this way, eternal punishment is not a way that God is trying to get back at us. He's not saying, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't give your life to me, so I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to take this away. That's not at all what's going on. Actually, it is the natural result of existence without God. It's not God getting back at us. It's a natural result of existence without Him on earth. And subsequently, if we live without God on earth, we will live without Him in eternity. But you see, the great thing is that all of this bad news, these four levels of death, the moral death, the spiritual death, the physical death, the eternal death, all of these came at a break point. That break point when God hung on that cross for us. That break point where everything changed. When Jesus went to the cross, He dealt with all these levels of death. Romans 5:9 reads, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Romans 6:23, a verse that everybody knows, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. You see, this break point is the second part of any passage that gives you an example of what the wicked person does as compared to the good person. This break point is the existence where we no longer have to live the way the world lives. We no longer have to face the things that the world faces because we can have that assurance in Jesus that He's coming back. And if we give our lives to Christ and we realize that break point was not just for the people of that time, but that break point was for all of us, we can stand up what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, when the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in the victory. And it continues on to say, where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our life starts in sin. And if we do not take that step with Jesus Christ, our life is going to finish in sin. We are going to experience not just the moral death, not just the spiritual death, not just the physical death, but we're going to experience the eternal death. That separation, that eternal separation from Jesus Christ. But thank you for verse 57, where it says, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory. Amen? Amen. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The breakpoint. The breakpoint of death. The experience of the cross. Let's go ahead and stand. You know, probably the most important thing to remember at this breakpoint is that it wasn't just for the people of that time. That it was meant for each and every one of us. It was meant for the youngest kid all the way to the oldest person. You know, my grandfather's 100 years old. He accepted Christ at the age of 93 years old. Lived his entire life in sin. But at 93, he realized that that breakpoint of Christ on the cross was meant for him. Have you experienced that breakpoint? Have you accepted that breakpoint that it's not just for the people of that time, that it's for everybody? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your passion for each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you for knowing everything that you know about us. Thank you for clearing the way for our future. Thank you for taking care of our past. And thank you for preventing any harm in the present. Lord, we realize that our lives are sinful without you. And Lord, my prayer is that this church would make sure that every week they fall on their knees because they want to get closer to you. Lord, my prayer is that not just this church, but every church in this country would fall on their knees every day because we want to get closer to you. Lord, we want what we read in Acts chapter 2 of the Pentecost. We want to be excited. We want to have that contentment. Father, we know that because of what you did on that cross, you swallowed up sin. And you have taken sin and you have crushed it. Father, you've done it for me. You've done it for us. You've done it for everyone. All we have to do is reach out and accept you. Lord, we thank you for your love and your patience, your mercy and your grace. And it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.